Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I mean, wow. So let's bring on our friend. I read that thing, man. Angelo Cataldi had he held nothing back on Joshua Harris. I was listening to today with that press conference that Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Sixers, had. I mean, he apologized.
I guess you could say that. I got to just say this. The last 2 minutes while I've been watching you in your green room here, that's more criticism of Philadelphia sports teams than I have heard in 2 months in Philadelphia. Do you understand that? And I'm moving Marcus Hazer aside because Marcus will still take some shots. But the rest of these people, they Joshua Harris, they just completed. Keith Pompey of the Inquirer, very good writer, said it's the worst season in the history of the franchise, okay? And I'm going, great, now we're going to stop blaming people. That's what we do in Philly. We blame people. No, Joshua Harris name doesn't even come up. They have this train wreck of a season. Where's he? Where's the owner? Is he ever held accountable? Do you understand? You got to understand this about Philadelphia history. Harold Katz, another really bad owner, but he won a championship in 1983. Harold Katz, when he sold the team, said, couldn't take the negative stuff from the Philadelphia media anymore, which I took as a badge of honor. We got a rotten owner, and we got him the hell out of here. We yelled him right off the stage, all right? There is zero chance that will ever happen again in Philadelphia because we have been overrun by pussies. Pussies running everywhere. We need an exterminator. Get rid of all the pussy. They're everywhere. This guy he's 34 games under 500, and nobody's taking a shot. No, even Morey, who comes across as an absolute imbecile, right?
Man,
total imbecile. Nobody's taking shots at Morey. You do this in Philadelphia. Where is the Philadelphia media that made me move from my hometown 40 years ago? Where the hell did these people go? Everybody's afraid now. Oh, I don't want to make enemies in the Sixers organization. You need to make enemies. That's journalism. It's called holding people accountable. And what I did in the Harris piece was old school. That's the way the way it was done. And the week before, I did a very strong analysis of Lurie, not just telling you how great he is because he won a second Super Bowl, but telling you why I still don't like him and won't ever like him. I think he's just really a pompous, self-congratulatory billionaire who makes no contact with the actual fans. But the Harris thing is next level. Harris, at the end, when I finally wrote this, and I was building up Steve, putting all these facts together. It's all facts, all right? It's all facts. You can't, there's nothing in there you can contest. It's all things he said or things he did. And at the end of it, I realized, well, I now know the truth. This is the worst owner in Philadelphia sports history. And then I congratulated him.
$400 million you pointed out investments for 24 wins.
Right. And they're going to roll that back around? Let's bring that back around. Let's see if this is the year Paul George can play 50 games. Let's see if this is the year Joel Embiid doesn't have 10 problems before the opening game. I mean, come on. It's over, yo. You got to know when to fold them. This team is a disaster.
Has he, again, I mean, I guess since Croach, that you guys had a competent owner in the building, yeah, probably since Pat, right?
Croce was the last one. See, Comcast owned them for a while, and they own the Flyers, and they're a bad – they're just – a corporation can't own a team.
No.
It just doesn't work. All right? It won't work. It will never work.
The Yankees, right? The Yankees were owned by CBS for those decades, right, and they ran it into the ground. And then Steinbrenner bought it and then turned it around.
Right. And then his son took over, and now they stink again.
That's right.
Now they haven't won a thing since the old man died. All right. This is called the next generation syndrome. The son never knows what the hell the father did, and so bungles it. We'll get to see that when Jeff Lurie hands it off to his son. That's coming with the Eagles in the next few years. But Joshua Harris, he embodies all the wrong things being an owner. He comes out when he buys a team, the Sixers, and he goes, let me tell you, I have a full, total commitment to this team. This is all I care about. We're going to build a champion.
Is he the process guy?
Well, yeah. Then 2 years later, they started the process, which was, told you, the whole first thing he said was total bullcrap, all right? But on top of that, 2 years after, he's given full attention. I don't care about my hedge fund. I don't care about anything. I want this team to win because I went to Penn. I got a connection here. And then 2 years later, he bought the Devils. Then 2 years ago, he bought the Commanders. So where's that commit? I don't see. And meanwhile, he just kept making more money. The Sixers are worth four times what they were when he bought them 14 years. Angela,
I never realized the Philadelphia sports fans, if you went to Wharton, that mattered.
When he went to North Jersey, he had a connection there. Then, his beloved Washington. He had the same bull crap rolled out every time he had a new news conference after he bought a team. The only reason he bought the team was to make money. It's idiot-proof. You buy a sports franchise, it goes up in value. Four times more the Sixers 14 years later than what he paid for them. It works worst every time.
In 30 years. Worst team in 30 years.
Oh, because they were supposed to contend. And then the last 2 months there, in the ultimate insult to Philadelphia. And the last 2 months, they became the process again. And they tried to lose because they didn't want to lose the sixth. You know, right now they have a contingency trade and they want to still keep their, they want to keep this top six pick. So they had to be so bad that they had a shot to do that in the lottery. And they tanked 4 years, and then they had to tank again at the point in the development here where those great players they were supposedly going to get in the draft would be the core of a great team. Now, they won, 20, whatever the hell they won. It was awful.
And 24, 24 and 58.
Freaking wins.
24 and 58.
Worst. I mean, you know what? If Daryl Morey had any sense for the city, he would have come out for his news conference with a bag on his head.
He would have resigned.
And my question would have been, where the hell's the owner? Because he's the guy that kept you morons back in charge for another year. We're going to get another year of Daryl Morey. We're going to get another year of Nick Nurse. We're going to get another year of Elton Brand back in there somewhere. All these guys are coming back to blow another season next year. Where's the owner? I want to tell the owner what I think of his great leadership.
Man, you're going to give that guy an arena too, which is really insane. I mean, I don't
know. Well, he played that one, Danny.
Of course he did.
He suckered the mayor, Sherelle Parker. And she had to endorse the Chinatown plan. He's going to build this $2 billion palace in Chinatown. Right, there were no streets,
no parking. There was no parking.
Nowhere to get out of the city. It made no sense. It would have completely destroyed the culture of Chinatown, which has been there forever. And he never was doing it. You understand?
Didn't care.
He was just playing off that project and Camden. He had Camden kissing his ass too, just so he could fleece some more money out of Comcast to go back to sports con. And for years, those people at Chinatown were going nuts. This guy's going to ruin our neighborhood. He wasn't going. It's all bull. The guy is just a sham. Do you understand? And on top of all that, he's worth $11.2 billion.
Man.
And it's not enough, Dan. He's got to get the next great deal. Because the only scoreboard in Jaguar Harris's life is his bank book. Is his
legacy.
It's all that matters. Nothing else matters. He hasn't had a winner anywhere.
That's right. Not even the Devils. That's correct.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
We haven't been good.
This is the third year they've been in the playoffs in 12 years. Everybody makes the playoffs in the NHL.
No, I mean, when Lou Lamoriello ran that team back in the day and they won those three Stanley Cups, they were fabulous. They were fabulously owned. Now, since he's owned it, how do you not make the NHL playoffs? You know you are in trouble when you are an organization. Again, you know, the one thing about what'd you make of Tortorella's firing?
Well, here's the thing with Tortorella. It was a mercy killing at the end. He wanted out.
He wanted out.
He wanted out. And the reason he wanted out, in my estimation, and this will now please my former co-host, Keith Jones, is that he realized that Danny Briere, who is running the Flyers, has no clue as to how to run a franchise.
That's right.
And the only reason he's there is it's the old mode of bringing back another former Flyer and putting him in charge. He hasn't shown anything. He hasn't shown a thing in the 2 years that Keith Jones has been the president. And Jonesy, if Jonesy were really dynamic, and I know him, he's not. He's just such a great guy. He'd fire Briere and bring in a guy who's done it.
That's
a guy who's done it. A real roster creator. But he can't. So the problem with all of the Joshua Harris teams, he doesn't put the right people in charge. And he doesn't because he doesn't know anything about the sport of the team he owns.
You think that's why Laurie does the right thing and gets winners? Because he does it many places, puts the right guys in right places?
Laurie won the lottery with Howie Roseman. And he was smart enough. And I'll give the owner credit for this. He's smart enough to know that he had a good guy making the decisions about his roster. Except for that period where Chip Kelly took over. And I guess he had a gun at his head for that year. Kelly said, I'm the man. I invented football. Look how brilliant I am. Now I need to run the organization. Then he traded LeSean McCoy. Everything fell apart. We realized he didn't know crap. Right? He was full of it. But I don't think Lurie has not demonstrated to me that he really knows all that much either. He's dangerous in the fact that he thinks he does now. But listen to him talk. Just listen. Force yourself to listen for half an hour of some media session he has. And he will tell you these brilliant management things that he had that are so obvious. Like, I am obsessed with winning. My obsession is winning. I'm diligent to make sure I surround myself with the finest people. It's all crap, right? He's out buying yachts, right? He's not. Howie.
It's Howie.
It is Howie. It's definitely Howie. But what you said a few minutes ago is right, too. Howie now, for whatever reason, and I can't give you a good one. Publicly, he said he doesn't want to do it the way he did it after they won in 17. So he's going to pull back on the roster spending. He's still got a ton of money under the cap, and he's going to weaken the franchise. And that's what they did. This is that's not as good a team.
Angelo, I was just going to ask you. Good a team. Don't you agree? They care more about the 2026 season than they do about the 2025 roster. I mean, outside of the Bond extension, name me something that they've done where you went, okay, 60-some-odd days ago, you had the number one defense in the NFL. You allowed five starters to go off that football team. Where have you improved? Just because you signed a bunch of guys don't mean you signed good guys.
Right.
I mean, I don't see listen to what he said at the owners' meetings. Hey, look, it's not going to be the same. That's Howie. The owner goes, this is one of the best teams we ever had, and maybe the greatest team we ever had. Where have you put yourself back in that conversation where you're going to repeat? It's about the future contracts we have to sign. I mean, do you think this team takes a step back this year?
Oh, without again, whenever I find myself projecting the next year, I remember what an idiot I sounded like here a year ago. They've already taken a major step back. You understand? They've already taken that step back. They're not as good. They're not even close to being as good as they were. They left. Vic Fangio was doing an interview at a Phillies game a couple of weeks ago. And they went, Vic, great job. An amazing thing that you did. Wow, you put that. What do you think now? And he went, well, we lost five starters and seven key players on defense. They took like a pause. They realized, well, I can't tell the total truth here. Yeah, I work for Lurie and Roseman. Went, we'll find a way. Like, I hope we'll find a way. You know, like, no, you won't find a way. That's half your defense. That's half your defense is gone from a Super Bowl team. Who's going to play those positions? Where are you going to get the leadership that Brandon Graham brought? No, I don't think, you know. Look, Dan, I'm probably wrong again. Who knows? The over-under is 11.5 wins.
No way.
I'm not giving you a number, but I'll say take the under because that schedule is murderous. It's number not one. Like last year. And because that defense was the power of that team in the biggest games, and that defense is not there now. And Vic Fangio is not a miracle worker. He's not going to be able to do it. And they're going to bring kids in, but that takes a while. They don't just come in and.
Angelo, I try telling people this. How long did it take Dean to come around? 2 years. How long did it take Nolan Smith? 2 years. How long did it take Milton Williams? Three years. You really think you're going to find in a weak draft a guy at 32 that's going to change your fortunes around? No. I don't buy it, man. I don't see it.
I don't either.
I got the Commanders winning the East this year. I'm going to say it. I got the Commanders winning the East because you could say whatever you want about Laremy Tunsil and adding Debo. They added good players. The Eagles lost good players.
They did. And they did it with purpose. They said they were going to lose those players. Because they didn't want to max out their cap, which no team in sports has been better at managing a cap than the Eagles have. Because, all right, they're $18 million under, but let's redo a couple of veteran deals. Now we got more money where they didn't play. They decided, they made a conscious decision after they won the Super Bowl not to do that or not to even do half of it because they did it after 17 and they got burned. So he said, well, we're not going to do it this time. We're going to do it the opposite way. Well, the opposite way is not going to work. It's not going to work. They don't have enough good talent on the defense now.
Angelo, who do you – I watched that video with you and Howard. And this Andy Reid thing is always really interesting, especially for you. First, before I get to that, you and Howard went over, because Howard loves – he was on a couple weeks ago. And he loves Andy Reid. I'll get – but who do you think is more full of shit, Nick or Andy?
Andy. Did I need time to think it over?
No.
I don't think there's the human in the world today that would beat Andy and being completely, just totally full of it. And nothing that comes out of Andy's mouth has any relevance to reality. It's all simply protecting his players, protecting his franchise. What's he doing this for? He has no interest in providing any actual information when he's speaking to the media or to the public. How do I know this? 14 years. I saw it for 14 years. And if you can't figure out a guy's MO in 14 years, look around. Somebody's a moron. It's probably you.
Okay, I gotta ask. It's April 14th, and you know we're coming up on taxes here, and I still haven't seen this phantom deal supposedly for Nick. I don't know, man. I mean, I hear people get this. People are so snowed, and because of February 9th, that Super Bowl, they're telling me how great this guy is, and I'm sorry, I think he's a cheerleader. Yep. And they say he should be the highest paid coach in pro football.
He doesn't do the offense anymore. He's never done the defense. He doesn't do special teams. He calls himself a CEO. He makes an ass of himself on the sideline. His press conferences are horrible, uniformly awful. Yeah, his team's winning. Can I fully explain that? Not really. Theories, but it'll be fascinating. If the extension is for anything less than 3 years, they're telling you they don't believe him either.
Right? I think if it's less than 5 years, they're telling you something.
All right. Well, if it's 5 years, then there's a term for that. John Middleton gave it to us a few years ago. It's called stupid money. All right. I hope I'm around at the end of those 5 years, because I guarantee you I will be here longer than Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni.
You think they pay him $17, $18 million a year?
No. They just.
I don't either.
Didn't they just say they're like on this kick of saving money this offseason after they won a Super Bowl? They're going to give it to Nick? They know Nick. Look, again, if you talk to somebody long enough, you can figure out whether or not they got what it takes. I got to talk to Nick a lot, 3 years after every single game. And I could tell you something. He ain't worth $17 million. He ain't worth $7 million. All right. I don't know what he's going to get, but whatever it is, they will rule the day. He's got 2-3 more years left before he next year. They have a middling season, 10-7, whatever. And then the following year, and then they're going to go,
he's the most replaceable guy in that organization.
Oh, he is. Without a doubt, he is. Do a poll. Who would you rather have? The head coach, Nick Sirianni, or the offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland? I guarantee you, Dan, 70% will say, keep the offensive line coach, get rid of the head coach.
It's a great poll question that you go, if it came down to Jeff Stoutland leaving and going somewhere else or keeping Nick, who do you think the city of Philadelphia even Vic Fangio now?
The city of Philadelphia that loves the big guys in the middle of the line wouldn't even be close. They know he's a babbling idiot. They've seen him on the sideline. He had a game where he started to lecture the fans in Philadelphia at an Eagles game on how to behave, how you should not be booing. No, you don't boo here. What the hell's wrong with you? It's Philadelphia. Do you understand? Generation upon generation in our city has been trained to boo when they see something they hate. Now we got this guy from upstate New York here telling us how to act. Really? Yeah. This is going to work?
He's from Canada. He ain't from upstate.
Whatever he's from. You know the word I use when I think of him. Stunad. Stunad.
Hey, Angel, a couple last ones here for you. Listen, I said this after the first week, and of course after they won the opening April series with the Dodgers, they won the World Series of April, and I said this about the Phillies. I go, I guarantee you by the end of the year, they fire Rob Thompson. Oh. And everyone goes, oh, you're nuts. I go, you don't have a bullpen. Your starters, one of them, in my opinion, can't be relied on, and your hitting and your lineup is so inconsistent. They're like this, Angelo. They're as hot as ever, but they get as cold as ever. And you know this. One of the reasons that the Braves have always been great, what do they do? John, that they've always invested in arms. They've always made sure it was defense and arms, and that's the one thing the Phillies haven't done, and they don't have a bullpen. I think they're going to be very disappointed again at the end of the year. How do you see them?
They have a good rotation. I will say that, although Nola is really vastly overpaid. But Lozado has looked pretty good. What's sad to me is that they are really squandering year after year of a great career by Bryce Harper. That guy is really a hell of a player. And he's great in the clutch, and he's great in the locker room. And he is one of the few $300 million players you'll ever see who's worth the money. And year after year, they have ruined it by robotic decisions by the head coach, by the manager. Rob Thompson may be the least creative manager I've ever seen. You can predict every single thing he does, every minute of every game. He never goes outside. The man has lived his life in baseball, Dan. And he never trusts his gut. Never. He always does exactly what the numbers say to do. And every time he gets burnt. He blew last season when he took Wheeler out after seven innings in the first playoff game. He blew it. That story has not yet been covered in Philadelphia, but I keep bringing it up because someday people will realize that's what's happened. And he will blow this season too because he's not good at manipulating a bullpen.
No. No.
He doesn't have much of a bench to work with. And, you know, he's got some guys at Marsh. Marsh is not – I don't know why he keeps getting rolled out there every day. Bohm's having a terrible start for this season. And, yeah, you're right. They're not – look, they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. And I would bet my house that if they play them in a meaningful series in the playoffs, that the Dodgers would swamp them. That's I look at the Dodgers and I went, wow, Dodgers are so much better than the Phillies. It's not even a contest. No, they're not going to do it again this year. And I assume you're right that Thompson will finally be, you know, put out of his out of his misery because
here's an example. I mean, go back last year in the playoffs with the Dodgers and what Dave Roberts did. Dave Roberts ran out of arms, but he manipulated that coaching staff, and then he manipulated the pitching staff for them to find innings and how they needed to get guys out there. He had a gut feeling, as you said. He went with the feeling. I know Dave very well when he was with Bud Black with the Padres. He was his bench coach, and I used to talk to him. He goes, hey, man, because I guess that maybe is him being a former player out there too and letting players and having more of a gut feeling. But Dave let that and found innings with that staff. And that's what ended up winning, in my opinion, the World Series for the Dodgers a year ago, is because he went with gut. And that's the one thing Rob Thompson doesn't have.
Exactly right. 100%. Dave Roberts is one of the smartest people I've ever seen in sports. He lost all his starting pitchers. He had one guy left. And he went, all right, we'll use openers. We'll start with the bullpen. They'll have a guy go 4 or 5 in the middle. And he manipulated it brilliantly, brilliantly. Yep. And he won a championship doing that. Do you think Rob Thompson could ever do that?
No way.
In 9 years, he'd be looking down at the computer. What am I supposed to do now? What did the analytics guys say? I don't know what to do. There's a reason why he was almost 60 when he finally got a job as a manager. Because he's not managerial material. He doesn't have enough confidence in his own knowledge of the game. And you see it. If you watch it every day, and I'm dumb enough, I don't have anything going on right now. I'm retired. I watch all these games, and I always end up getting frustrated because I see everything so predictable, and you just know in the end he's going to just blow it, and he will. He's not a good manager.
I think the Dodgers with Andrew Friedman, their general manager, it's almost like the setup that the Eagles have. Where you got a really good general manager. The difference here is that you got an outstanding manager with Dave Roberts. And I just think that Nick is kind of a go-along, get-along guy. But Andrew Friedman got cut his chops when he was with the Rays and learned how to be economical. But also, when he got the open checkbook with the Dodgers, he built the farm system. Everyone wants to play in Los Angeles. I mean, it's a perfect dynamic. I think Dave Dombrowski has really underachieved as a general manager in Philadelphia. More so than what he did in Detroit. And when he was down with Larry Beinfest, down with the Marlins, probably up there in Boston, he did a nice job. But He's underachieved, I think, in Philly.
Well, he hasn't won the championship, so you're right. That's the only that's the only way to define it. If you bring a guy in, take him out of retirement. He was done. And bring him here and say, here, open checkbook. John Middleton is a good owner. I'll tell you that right now. John Middleton will give you the wherewithal. He will give you the money to get the best players you can get. But, no, there's not. It's just – it's not there. And you're right. And look, if Dombrowski's on the West Coast and he could create the Japanese all-star team the way the Dodgers have, if he had the geographical advantage of getting these great Japanese players, then maybe, you know, you could say it's right now. At some point, Major League Baseball is going to have to look at that and go, well, if every great Japanese player wants to play in L.A., how are we going to give the teams in the rest of the country a chance to compete? Because right now, those kids, even Sasaki, who's not shown everything he's got yet, he's fantastic.
They're going to play. They're either going to play with the Dodgers, the Mariners, or they're going to play with the Padres. And you're right. Or even so much with the Angels, they're just going to stay on the West Coast because there's not. They haven't really migrated into like Central and over into the East.
Right.
That's a great take, Angelo. That's right.
Meanwhile, we spent $200 million to bring Aaron Nola back for another 4 years or 5 years or whatever the hell. And I don't see where they love him. I don't see it. You should see the emails I get on him. He is he's a lightning rod of criticism and the people that are still left in Philly. There's about seven of them now who still remain critical of their sports teams.
Let me throw over 14 years as an owner. The Sixers have finished. This is off. Go to Angelo Cataldi's blog. Here's just a line for you. Over his 14 years as owner, I didn't realize it was that long since Howard Katz. They have finished first in the conference once and have never made it to the conference finals. They have a composed record regular season under Harris of 115 and 571, 56 miserable games under 500, and you add in the legendary names of Ben Simmons. And now Paul George into that mix. And softest tissue, Joel Embiid, into that whole thing. I mean, I'm going to start calling him the tissue man.
Yes, he is. He's made out of tissue.
Three more years of $60 million.
Right. But you know what was important? To get those extra years. Give him extra years after the Olympic Games. After the Olympic Games, we showed up out of shape. Beat up, his knee was all swollen, but he got a gold medal. And frankly, they would have won it with or without him. He didn't even do that much for the U.S. team, but he had to get his gold medal.
One of the
selfish players and softest players we've ever seen in this town. That's another criticism you'll never hear in Philadelphia anymore. We don't do those things.
He's terrible, man. I mean, God, every time you mention the names Malone and Wilt, I don't see that, man. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the Iverson teams were tougher. The Iverson teams were. Angelo, great stuff. Make sure you guys check out Angelo's blog. Joshua Harris is a terrible owner. I mean, hey.
I don't hedge stuff. It's at AngeloCataldi.com. Just click on blogs. There's lots of old school journalism on there. The way columns used to be written. Yeah, no one does it anymore.
No. Get this. Joshua Harris is a terrible owner. Hedge fund owner. No hedging. Angelo Cataldi. My friend, thank you so much as always for doing this.
Anytime.
You bet. That is our good friend, Angelo Cataldi. Man, he hates Andy Reid. He does. God, it feels good, you know, to know that the greatest sports talk host has so much in common with Ben Sills. How you doing, man? Yeah. Angelo, hey, man, how you doing? Angelo hates everyone and everything. Look at, hey, get this. See, that's the new Philadelphia media talking right there. That's the new media. Hold on. That's new media right there. That's the new kids. Hey, everything's not that bad. Nick's great. Nick Sirianni's a freaking cheerleader. This guy needs pom-poms, man. That ain't a head coach. And he's going to get $17 million a year for being a pom-pom guy. Hey, he won the Super Bowl, Sills. He's the most replaceable guy in that building. Howie, Angelo's right. Howie's the guy. How about this? Could you here? So wait a minute. Let me get this right. Again with Xander, too. Hey, by the way, Xander. 4:30, Gary Cobb is coming aboard. Xander, can you do five at the top for a couple minutes? Got to have Xander on here, man. Love Xander's segment. Gary Cobb at 4:30. So, Xander, I hope you could do the five. Dude, let me say this once again here. You guys think you can replace Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, right? You guys think you can replace them? And no problem. Do you think Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie could replace Nick and you'd be the same team? Do you? Do you believe you could lose Nick? If you lost Nick Sirianni, would you still be with a Super Bowl window open? Yes or no? Do you? I do. If you lose Howie, I don't. If you lose Nick, I still think you're great. How about this? Who would you rather have, Nick Sirianni or Jeff Stoutland, on your coaching staff? Who would you rather have, Vic Fangio or Nick Sirianni on your coaching staff? What happened to Peterson? I don't know. You guys won. Same with Andy. Shit, you won even with Chip. Okay, so the coordinator and the O-line coach are more important than the head coach. Hey, that's a great poll question. If the Eagles had to choose between Jeff Stoutland or Vic Fangio, and you had to get rid of Nick, who would Eagle fans and Eagle sports fans want to get rid of? So you're going to pay a guy $17 million who you keep the O-line around and the O-line coach around, and the O-line coach makes $3 million. The O-line coach makes $3 million a year, but you're going to pay a guy $18 million, and the O-line coach is more valuable. Okay. That doesn't even add up right. I mean, that doesn't even add up. The answer is obvious, but fortunately, we don't have to. That's not my point. Mike Tomlin's the most important coach in Pittsburgh. Andy Reid's the most important coach, and they got SPACs in Kansas City. John Harbaugh is the most important coach in Baltimore because he hires everybody. Same with Tomlin. They hire.